Well, we come to this great theme this evening then, this theme of fellowship. And as I've mentioned already, as we read 1 John earlier together and we looked briefly at Acts 2:42, this is part of a series on spiritual growth. And if we were to ask ourselves the question, well, how do we grow spiritually? Then we could easily give an answer to that question and say, well, we grow spiritually through the help of the Holy Spirit who brings the presence of Christ to us. And as we experience Jesus Christ, that causes us that growth in our lives. But how does God do that? How does the Holy Spirit work in our lives to bring us near to Christ and to help us to grow? And we've been suggesting over the series that God does that in two main ways. He does it one way in the ways that we're gathered together, and he also does it when we're on our own. And at this stage in the series, we've been looking at the ways in which God does it when we're together. We've looked at the apostles' doctrine, in other words, the preaching that we receive Sunday by Sunday and Wednesday by Wednesday from various people, and how we can listen to that preaching in such a way that we seek Christ in the preaching and in the sermons. And by finding him there, we are encouraged to grow. But this evening, our theme is one of fellowship, of mutuality, of togetherness. And therefore, this is something that is vital to the Christian's life. And actually, when we start to think about this, we understand that it's not just vital for us, but it's something that is very much part of our human nature, our human instinct, that need for companionship, that need for togetherness. Now, I'm not necessarily here talking about being sociable all the time. Not everyone is as sociable as others. Some people are very sociable. They seem to spend their lives surrounded by other people, always talking and chatting and laughing and joking. Other people are more solitary creatures and enjoy just having a little bit of space around them. And amongst us tonight, there'll be people in both those groups and many in between. I'm not talking about that as a characteristic. But just this, in the last few days, I read various websites and blogs, and including one by a chap called Francis Pryor. And literally, just in the last few days, he began his blog entry by talking about choosing to be solitary and the enjoyment that he got from that, of just being able to be on his own, to think and to write and so on. But also the real sadness of loneliness, which isn't chosen, but sometimes we find thrust upon us. And loneliness is a massive issue in our day and generation, isn't it? And many of us can relate to that and have experienced that. Maybe some experience in that even now. That loneliness, that sense of isolation. And what was interesting was in this blog, the time that he talks about in his life when he was most lonely was when he was living not out in the middle of the countryside as he is now, but in the middle of a thriving city, surrounded by people, but no real connection, and therefore very lonely. Now, the Christian should never be lonely because of this thing, fellowship, this thing that draws us together, this thing that binds us together. And if we're to be spiritually healthy and to live healthy lives and to grow as Christians, we need this fellowship. And yet there is a temptation that maybe many of us have that we can do without fellowship. There are some people who say that they are Christians and yet never go to church and never seem to seek that fellowship of one with another. Of being able to stand next to a brother and sister in Christ and praise God or look at the Bible together or pray together, who seem to think that they can manage without that. I confess I find that incredibly difficult to understand. And I confess that when I read my Bible, I don't see any Christians being described in that way. And I guess that by your presence here tonight, you're not in that category, unless maybe you're listening to the sermon on the website secretly, in which case, come and join us, and we'd be delighted to see you. But those of you who are here tonight, you at least have some sense of that need for fellowship, don't you? That need to join together. And we can enjoy fellowship. We've mentioned already folk who are away on holiday. One of the things that I really love about going away on holiday is being able to go to another church and to meet Christians that, in a sense, we've got nothing in common with, except, and this matters more than anything, doesn't it, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we almost have this link. It's very strong sometimes, this friendship and fellowship. But when the Bible talks about fellowship, it talks about more than just these passing relationships that we might have with Christians that we bump into in different places. It's a sense of belonging. And you can only really belong in one place at a time. And that's what the Bible speaks of with fellowship. And we're warned, aren't we, in the Bible, that this fellowship really is important. If you're in any doubt about whether fellowship is important, let me remind you what Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25 says. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what the writer to the Hebrews tells us. Don't forsake, don't forget gathering together as God's people. Why does he say that? Because he says, what I want you to do, what you need to do, is to stir up love and good works. And it's almost a command, isn't it? You mustn't do this. You mustn't forsake this. This is vital. And therefore, I think we have to say that if we don't seek fellowship from our fellow Christians, we are being disobedient to the word of God. We've got to put it that strongly. But this evening, I don't want to kind of beat you with a stick and say, you must have fellowship. You must enjoy being here in church with your brothers and sisters, because sticks aren't very good at that. Instead, I want to remind you of the great joy and wonder of fellowship, and the great experience that we can have with one another. Because fellowship is a spiritual necessity. It's not an optional extra. I hope it's not a surprise for you to find out that God has not made you self-sufficient. He's not made you so that you can keep going on your own. He's made you that you need him, but also that we need one another. When I was at New Word Alive recently, a Christian conference where we were able to enjoy some fellowship there with other believers, we went to a series of meetings on the church. And the man who was speaking told this story. It's a, I think it's a made-up story. I'm not sure. It's a good story to illustrate this point. Because he said that there are some people maybe who get out of the habit, just as we heard in Hebrews 10, of meeting together. And sometimes we can think we miss a few Sundays. And maybe at first, at least, perhaps we just miss one service on a Sunday. Maybe the next week we're back again. And the next week just one service. And then perhaps miss a couple of evening or morning services, and then before we know it, we've missed a whole day, and gradually, just slowly, we get out of the habit. And maybe that's happened to you. And maybe you feel, well, it hasn't actually made all that much difference. I haven't missed much as I've been away. And maybe, therefore, you doubt the necessity of fellowship together. Well, the story is told of somebody who was in a church and had done just that. And the minister went to visit him, to encourage him to come back. And the man said exactly what I've just said. Well, I've been away off and on for quite a long time. And to be honest, I'm doing okay. I'm still reading my Bible and I'm praying. And I feel I'm doing okay. I'm not sure I really need to be there every service, every week. Well, as they were having this conversation, they were both sitting round a coal fire there in the lounge. And the story is told that the minister just very quietly got off his chair, and he took one of the hot coals from the middle of the fire and placed it on the hearth. And for several minutes it glowed almost as brightly as it had when it was in the heat of the fire. But it didn't take too long before that coal became dark and cold. And then the minister got up again and placed the coal back in the fire. And it wasn't too long before it returned to its former heat and strength. And the minister had made his point, hadn't he? And so it is with us. And sometimes we can cool down through our absence so slowly that we almost don't notice. And we need to be very careful that we really do seek and look for fellowship all of the time. So let me tell you what I can about fellowship. I've been helped by a book by a chap called Don Whitney, who's written on many of these things. I found him very helpful for the whole series and for this in particular. And I'm going to, with a bit of adaptation, use the headings that he provides because I found them very helpful for myself. Here's the first thing that I want to tell you about fellowship. Fellowship in the church is a unique privilege. Fellowship in the church is a unique privilege. When we look at the Bible and we find these words that are often translated fellowship, if we look just for those words, we're only actually getting part of what the Bible teaches us about fellowship. Because the Greek word that's usually translated as fellowship in our English Bibles is the word koinonia. And the word koinonia actually in many other places is translated as something different, sometimes as communion or partnership or participation. Because it's got this range, this breadth, this depth of meaning that could go beyond maybe what we think of as fellowship. It's a really real a sense of sharing together. That's what's at the kind of root of it. And the word is used, for example, in 1 Corinthians of our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we have fellowship with him. It's used in that way in Romans and in 2 Timothy as well, and in Philippians chapter 3, this idea that we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that intimate, strong relationship that comes of born of the Spirit, as it were. Also, Paul talks about it in terms of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're in fellowship with him in 2 Corinthians 13 and in Philippians 2, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So can you see, as the writers are using these words to describe our relationship to Jesus Christ and our relationship with the Holy Spirit, just how deep and significant, therefore, that these words are? And it's that same word that is used very often about our fellowship and our partnership in the gospel, one with another within the local church. And as we read earlier from 1 John chapter 1, that link is exactly what we found, isn't it? Do you remember? John says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And a little bit later, in just over the page in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And it's very clear what John's point is, isn't it? As John himself is in fellowship with Jesus Christ, then his other brothers and sisters, they're also in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and therefore John is in fellowship with them. So Jesus Christ is at the hub and the center of this fellowship. And that's why fellowship in the church is a unique privilege. What I mean by that is that when we talk about fellowship, we're not just talking about being part of a club. You might be part of a darts club or a cricket club or a crochet club. But Christianity Church is not just a club like that. It's a unique privilege because it's founded on our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one who binds us together. He is the one who keeps us together. And therefore, whenever we meet a Christian who is in fellowship with Jesus Christ, we are, by definition, if I can put it like that, in fellowship with them. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter what gender they are. It doesn't matter their experience or their background. What matters is that we are one in Christ Jesus. And that's the bond that the Bible used to speak of our fellowship with one another. And there really isn't, and this is not an exaggeration, there really isn't another relationship like it. We have very close bonds, don't we, between children and parents, between husbands and wives, between brothers and sisters in human terms. We have close relationships maybe with best friends. And those relationships are all different from one another, and this relationship is something different again, because it's founded on this vital truth that we're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think about this unique aspect of Christian fellowship, that it's centered on Jesus Christ himself, then that obviously means, doesn't it, that fellowship is much more than tea and biscuits after the evening service. It's much more than just socializing. Now, I'm not knocking socializing at all. Socializing is tremendously helpful. But you can be sociable with people without enjoying fellowship with them. Jim Packer, who many of you will know and respect as a wonderful theologian, has said this: it's not a good sign when a person sees no difference between sucking sweets and eating a square meal. Equally, it's not a good sign when Christians see no difference between social activities in Christian company and what the New Testament calls fellowship in Christ. Isn't that helpful? You see, fellowship in Christ is something much deeper than just social activities in Christian company. And one of the dangers maybe in our day and generation is that we use the word fellowship too easily. And we talk about fellowship when really we're just really talking about socializing. Now, again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that socializing is wrong. I don't believe that for a moment. I would encourage all of us to be sociable together and to enjoy things together. We have things in the summer, don't we? Like the Sunday school outing that we are able to go to in a church. We have meals together sometimes on a Sunday lunchtime. There was a new something at New Year. There's various other meetings, particularly for ladies in the week. There are times after the evening service. There's all kinds of opportunities that we have for socializing. They're all good things. But if we think that's all fellowship is, then we've missed the point. We're going to be impoverished. We're just going to be sucking sweets and desperate for a square meal. You see, what we need to be doing, if we've really understood fellowship as having its heart and its root in the Lord Jesus Christ, then if we have fellowship with one another, that means this: that we are sharing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we're sharing in the indwelling of the Spirit of God together. And surely that gives us much more than just being sociable. If you were here on Wednesday, we talked about how sometimes asking questions can be very helpful when we're trying to understand what the Bible says. But we didn't just mean that asking questions of the preacher, but of asking questions of one another, of discussing things and helping one another. And I mentioned on Wednesday that it's always encouraging and always a good sign when, let's say, on the Sunday evening service, or as we're downstairs having tea together, or as we're chatting in our pews, where the conversation is not just about the football or the weather or whatever it might be, but really about Christ and the things of God. And as we talk, therefore, about our knowledge and experience of God and His Word. And it's wonderful to hear that happening from time to time on a Sunday. But we need more of that together. More of that encouragement. More of that help for one another. More of that lifting one another up. More of that carrying one another's burdens. More of an arm around a shoulder and a quiet word. And this should happen on a Sunday, but it doesn't just have to happen on a Sunday. We can experience that in simple ways throughout the week. Just that little encouragement. Just that little prayer together. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just to be able to, maybe as somebody's sharing something with us, and a concern, a worry, a trouble, just to be able to say, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Just to share something from the Scriptures, maybe a verse that has helped you in a similar situation. Or maybe simply an arm around the shoulder. Making clear of our shared love of the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for us. You see, Christian fellowship really is something that's unique. And because of that, secondly, fellowship in the church therefore provides unique benefits. Fellowship in the church provides unique benefits. And what I'm suggesting here is that if we enjoy fellowship with one another, we'll gain things through fellowship that simply aren't available to us through any other method. That's very simply what I'm saying, that there is genuinely something unique, not just something special, but something unique in Christian fellowship. That means that there are some things that we experience only in fellowship, that we can't experience in other ways. And in the remainder of the time that we've got together, I want to share four or five ways in which we have these unique benefits in fellowship. So here's the first of those. In fellowship, we experience the grace of God in ways that otherwise we would not be able to. In fellowship, we experience the grace of God in ways that otherwise we would not be able to. You remember back in Acts 2:42, haven't we? They had the apostles' doctrine. And you might think, well, if they had the apostles' doctrine, what need did they have for fellowship? But clearly they found something in fellowship that they couldn't have got from the apostles' doctrine or from those other things that were there. They experienced things in fellowship that they wouldn't and couldn't experience in the breaking of bread, that they wouldn't and couldn't experience in praying. There was something special about fellowship, about this togetherness. You see, as we dwell together and live together and serve together and worship together, then we're reminded often, aren't we, of what we share and what we have in common. And that's true in all kinds of areas in life, isn't it? When we're with people that we share an interest with, very often our conversation will be about that interest, and we can often feel more interested in that thing because we've got people around us who are more interested in it, because that's what we hold in common, that's what we talk about, that's the things that we do together. And so it is with Christian fellowship. And in Christian fellowship, as we draw around one another and support one another, encourage one another, it reminds us, therefore, that God's grace is working in your life and in your life. And as we see that in one another and we can see the grace of God working, it might cause us to reflect, well, does that mean the grace of God is working in me too? And maybe even at times in conversation, somebody will encourage us by saying, I've really seen how you've changed over the last few months, and God's clearly been helping you and growing, and it's a real encouragement to me, and then that can be an encouragement to you also. And we experience the grace of God through fellowship in ways that otherwise we couldn't. You see, as we have fellowship with one another, people can say things that are very personal to us. Things that therefore we would never read in God's word in a specific sense. Because although God's word has something to say to all of us, it doesn't single us out individually, does it? Sometimes in a sermon, the Spirit of God can take that and apply it individually. But when we read the Bible, it's not written just to me. And yet in conversation, in fellowship with one another, we get that personal, intimate touch. And there's no way that we can get that in any other setting. Only through fellowship. Only through fellowship. And therefore, if we distance ourselves from fellowship in the church, there's a real sense in which we may be distancing ourselves from the grace of God, isn't it? But by looking for fellowship, then we're going to experience God's grace through others. So we experience the grace of God in ways which otherwise we couldn't. But here's something else that can be a real encouragement and a real joy in fellowship. Not only do we experience a grace of God in the way that otherwise we couldn't, but we also experience the gifts and grace given to others. And so we're encouraged, I hope, that when we see spiritual growth within ourselves, but I hope also that we're encouraged when we see spiritual growth and spiritual things growing on in the lives of one another. In chapter 4, Apostle Peter speaks of this a little. And he says, each one has received a gift. As each one has received a gift, rather, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, and that helps us to understand both these points. That through others, we can enjoy something of the grace of God. And it's a wonderful privilege of being able to look around at our brothers and sisters in Christ and to be able to see God at work in them and to see the grace that you have received can be a real encouragement to me. And I'm sure as you look around and look at one another, that can be true also. And without fellowship, we'd never be encouraged by that. And maybe there are times when we're going through tough times, and maybe spiritually we're struggling and maybe even dry. And maybe we're tempted to think that God has abandoned us and forgotten us. Maybe God's not even at work in this day and generation any longer. And we can get downhearted and dispirited. But if we're part of a body of God's people, and we're seeing other people who are growing and being an encouragement and receiving grace, then that itself can be a real encouragement to us, can't it? Again, we read in the book of Ephesians and chapter 4, And verse 15, some very well-known words. And we've mentioned this before when we've looked at spiritual growth, that we once the prayer is that we grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And we know that to be true, don't we? We know that to be true, that we feed off one another literally. And we're encouraged, therefore, as we do so. And I do hope that you seek to encourage one another. And are not ashamed of asking one another for help and encouragement where you need it. Of looking to serve in simple ways. So through fellowship we experience the grace and the gifts given to others. And as we do that, we find as well that it's an encouragement to know the help and support of others. Isn't it a bad thing if we give the impression that we're self-sufficient? That we don't need other people? That we can get on our own? And that's wrong, not least because it's a lie, isn't it? It's proud, it's arrogant, and it's a lie. We need one another. And we ought not be ashamed of saying so. We ought not be ashamed of saying to our friends within the church, you know, I was reading, I don't know, Ephesians 4 or whatever it might be this week, and I really struggled with this verse. Have you ever read that passage? Have you ever been helped by it? Or saying to somebody, you know, I've got this problem as this person at work, and they're really getting me down, and I'm trying to respond in a Christian way, but I can feel this anger coming up and this resentment. And have you ever experienced that? Can you help me in that? You see, as Christian fellowship, we're able to be able to share and to help and to have the support of one another. Well, as we start to draw to a close, we always also find in Christian fellowship that in Christian fellowship we can experience love in ways that we otherwise couldn't. We've looked at 1 John already, haven't we, and this mention of fellowship that is there. But if we look at John's writing as a whole, his gospel and his three letters, we find that there's a theme that seems particularly prominent in John. And that's the theme of loving one another. It's a constant theme throughout his letters. Love one another, love one another, love one another. And fellowship helps us to experience the love of one another. I wonder if you really know that you're loved by your brothers and sisters in the congregation. I wonder if we really show our love to one another. I know I've been encouraged, and I know that that does often happen. And people have said to me that there's been some illness or some difficulty or some problem, and they're able to say, people have really shown me great love. That's exactly how it should be, a real encouragement, both for the person and for those who look on. Practical love and help and support. And particularly those people who are on their own, who don't have families who are living near them or with them. And our Christian fellowship, therefore, can particularly in those cases be of real help and real support. And that's one of the things that we've been talking about on a Wednesday night just recently. So as we draw to a close then, let me remind you and help you with maybe just some little ways in which we can begin to put some of these things into practice. The most important thing and the foundation really of all this is to realize that if we start by thinking that we need to have fellowship with one another, we've missed the point and we'll never achieve what we want to achieve. We don't start by thinking that we need to have fellowship with one another. We start by reminding ourselves of the fellowship that we already have with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father, and with God the Holy Spirit. And by reminding ourselves of that fellowship, by meditating on the closeness and the nearness and the wonderful love that we've been showed by all the Trinity, as we think about that, as we draw near to God in prayer and in private devotions and in the corporate worship together, as we draw near to God, it's that that will help us to draw near to our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So the message this evening is not just to think about others. It's not even to start by thinking about others. But the message this evening is to remember what we already have in Jesus Christ. And remember what we have in Jesus Christ, we share with every one of our brothers and sisters who are sitting around us. And that, as we meditate and ponder that will encourage us to be able to enjoy the fellowship that we have more and more. And I would encourage you, in simple ways, to give more time to fellowship one with another. I think in our day and generation, that's maybe one of the biggest problems that we have with fellowship, isn't it? That many of us are busy, and when we're not busy, we're tired. Isn't that a problem that every one of us faces? And therefore, the struggle that we have is not necessarily that we don't want to have fellowship, but we just struggle to be able to find the time to do it. But I would like to encourage us all to make that a priority, that fellowship one with another, to make time to enjoy fellowship with one another. And therefore, to take the opportunities that as a church we seek to provide. Take the opportunity to stay this evening and have a cup of tea and a biscuit downstairs. That isn't fellowship, a cup of tea and a biscuit. That's refreshments. But while we're enjoying the refreshments, we can also enjoy fellowship. Talk about your experience of Jesus Christ over the last week. And if you don't like talking about yourself, and every Christian in a sense is a little bit reluctant about that, ask your brother and sister. Ask them for encouragement and to ask them of the things that have encouraged them over recent weeks. Ask maybe about the things that have touched through the ministry at a prayer meeting or Sundays or through other areas of life. Ask somebody about their conversion or the things that God has done for them. But have these spiritual conversations where we remind ourselves of what we share together in Jesus Christ. Take that opportunity to stay and to enjoy that together. And in the other meetings that we have in the church, we also want to give opportunities for that. So in the prayer meeting more recently, on the prayer meeting and Bible study on a Wednesday night, we've been having more of a discussion and question time. Why have we been doing that? Well, partly because the Bible has challenged us into realizing that we need to provide opportunity for questions and discussing within the church. And that's a healthy thing to do. But partly also to give all of us the opportunity to support one another. So rather than everything, every spiritual blessing that you're getting in terms of word-based things being mediated through a pulpit, that's certainly the primary means of blessing, but it's not the only means of blessing. To also give you the opportunity to support one another in conversations and discussions, to talk about the Word of God and the things of God. So come along on a Wednesday evening, be part of that, enjoy that together. But it's not just a Bible study or a discussion, more than that, it's an opportunity for prayer. And what a joy it is to have a burden on your heart, a struggle, something that's weighing you down, and to be able to come along on a Wednesday night and to be able to share that with your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and then later in the meeting to hear other different people pray for your problem, for your struggle, for your need, for your joy. And to hear the whole congregation say their amen. And to join in prayer with you and for you. What an encouragement that is. And if you haven't got the courage to pipe up with your prayer request in the meeting, then just have a quiet word with whoever's leading the service, leading that meeting. And just say, would you mind just mentioning this for prayer? And people will pray with you and for you. What a wonderful encouragement that is. What a wonderful blessing that is. To know the support of your brothers and sisters in prayer. And you know what? There'll be many who will go away from that meeting. And they'll take away from that meeting one or two things. Can't remember everything, most of us. We've got poor memories. But we'll take away one or two things that we'll pray for during the week. And you might find that your brothers and sisters in Christ are upholding you, not just on a Wednesday night, but even through the week. What an encouragement that is to those who come. So come along on a Wednesday and pray together and discuss the Bible together. And there are other opportunities too, aren't there? Particularly for the ladies. Maybe us men need to think about this a little bit and not to get left behind by the ladies who have the weekly sisterhood and the monthly time to talk. Again, great opportunities for fellowship. That's what you enjoy, isn't it, ladies, on a Tuesday afternoon, to gather together for fellowship under the word. So it's not just about coffee and cake and biscuits, but being able to speak of the things of God and to hear the encouragement from the front, but then also to encourage one another. That's why there's a discussion once a month on a Monday, again for the ladies, to be able to encourage one another, to help one another. We have our coffee morning on a Wednesday morning too, don't we? And that's got various purposes. On the one hand, it's to encourage people to come along into church and the hope that through conversation and through witness we'll be able to share something of the love of Christ with those who don't yet know the Lord. But that's not the only purpose of coffee morning. It's also to give us an opportunity to share with one another. We've got a bit more time on a Wednesday perhaps, a bit more relaxed. And also we've got that opportunity as maybe you're having a conversation with somebody who's not yet a Christian, and maybe you get an opportunity in that conversation to share the gospel. It's wonderful to know that there are two or three other Christians around the table who at that very moment, as you're doing your best to witness to this person, at that very moment, have got one ear on the conversation and the other ear. And our voices, and we're talking to the Lord and praying for you as you're witnessing. It's a wonderful encouragement to be in that environment. There may be other opportunities that come up from time to time. I hope there will be. And there are certainly, obviously, opportunities that we can create for ourselves day by day and week by week. And my prayer, and I'm sure your prayer too, is that as a church we enjoy fellowship with one another, what we will experience is the nearness of Christ through the nearness of our brothers and sisters. And by being close to them, we will remember just how close we are to the Lord Jesus Christ. We will remember the privilege that he gives to us. We will remember the joys in which we have. We will remember all that he has done for us. We will remember where we have come from, dead in trespasses and sins. But now he has made us alive together in Jesus Christ. You see, fellowship is much more than just refreshments, much more than being a member of a club, much more than just having shared interests. It's about sharing that most precious thing of all, the grace of God, in the person of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gift from God to his church. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this gift of fellowship. We know, Lord God, that we don't always take the opportunities that you give to us. Maybe some of us, Lord, are shy. Maybe some of us are cold. Others perhaps busy, and others who are tired, and maybe some, Lord, are all four. So, Lord, we thank you for every opportunity that you give to us. And we pray, Lord, that in fellowship with one another, we would encourage one another in our Christian walk and in our gospel lives. And, Father God, we pray that by doing so, we would be reminded of all the grace that we have in Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would draw us near to him, that we might draw near to our brothers and sisters in Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen.